The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Sleep at all last night.
It is Boom Monday in the Savage Nation, and I know most of you are sleepless because of Obama's war upon the middle class. Turn off the music, would you? I'm not in the mood. I got a headache. I didn't sleep all night. I keep asking myself, if this health care reform is so good, why did they have to bribe so many people to pass it? If the health care reform is so great, why are most taxpayers against it? If the health care reform is so wonderful, why are illegals for it and taxpayers against it? Now, it doesn't really matter to me because you know and I know that this gang will do whatever they have to do to push through their Capone-like health care reform, the people be damned. Which leads me to the question of the hour. There's an article out of Connecticut. Is wealth changing Connecticut politics? The running of the rich. And the newspapers are trying to show that the Republican has a bigger boat than the Democrat. The Democrat has a 28-foot power boat, and the Republican guy has a 47-foot boat called Sexy B. It's a sports yacht that they dock in Boca Raton, Florida. Does that mean that the man is a bad man because he has a 47-foot boat, and the guy with the 28-foot boat is a better man? So that means that a man without a boat is better than a man with a smaller boat, and small is good? So it leads me to the new America that we're living in. For many years, if you have it, flaunt it was the norm. For many years, ostentatiousness was the norm. For many years, wealth was the goal. And now apparently America has entered a new phase, frugality, humility, etc. But it's all a lie. It's all a fraud because, as you well know, just because you own something grand doesn't mean you stole it. And just because you don't show anything doesn't mean you're not a crook. It was well known in New York for many years that some of the biggest crooks in the city never showed their wealth. They never displayed their wealth. They hid their wealth. Some of them, I heard, wallpapered their money to their walls in Bayside, Queens. They never showed their money. How many gangster movies have you gone to where the guy said, schmuck, don't buy a new Cadillac after you knocked off the Lufthansa thing, and he killed them because they were showing the wealth with the furs and the diamonds and the blah, blah, blah. So to me, what the hell is the difference if the guy has a bigger yacht? It's a matter of whether he's honest or not. Then they say that, naturally, it's a left-wing article. It's because the Republicans always have bigger boats than the Democrats, therefore they're no good. And they say both boats are swamped in the wake from Odalisque, Republican Tom Foley's 100-foot ship flagged under the Republic of Marshall Islands and hailing from the port of Bikini. Big deal. He didn't steal it from anybody. Or then they show that a lieutenant governor's wife has a Maserati Quattroporte, while the Republican has a 1993 Chevy pickup truck. What does this really mean? Does being rich mean that you're unqualified to understand what the average person is going through? And so what's interesting is Hearst, Connecticut newspapers gave 11 of the gubernatorial and U.S. Senate candidates a questionnaire. And they wanted to get insights into how they use their wealth. They want to know what cars they drive, how much they give to charity, where they vacation, what they spend on a haircut, what they spend on business attire, or where they like to go out and eat. Would you like to have the same questionnaire given to those in the news business? How'd you like that? I mean, what, you know, I looked at this and I said to myself, wait a minute, what does this have to do with anything? I started out with nothing and I have something now. I'm not a rich man, but I have something. So, I mean, what car do I drive? Let me give you an example. Yesterday was Sunday. Finally, we got some good weather out here in Northern California. I went and started up my 65 Cadillac. I haven't driven it for over 6 months. It sits in a garage in a house I have, like a barn up on a hill, and it's got a trickle charger on it at all time. I turn it over, it starts like the Woody Allen Volkswagen in a movie from the 1960s. The engine cranked over, this big 7-liter monster. Baroom. It stinks. I can't stand the smell, but the car rides like a baby carriage. Now, is that the car I drive every day, a 65 Caddy? No, I didn't drive it in 7 months. I drive a new Mercedes S600, the best car I ever owned. Should I be ashamed of my Mercedes? Why should I be ashamed of it? I didn't take it from you. What kind of boat do I have? Well, I could tell you I have a 22-foot boat, and you'd say, well, that's modest. I might want one, too. Then I could tell you I have a 63-foot yacht that I drive myself, too. Did I take it from you? No, I didn't take it from you. I earned it. It's my hobby. That's your business, too? I live in the United States of America. I'm not allowed to have what I earned, or have to give it to you because you can't earn anything. I mean, these are very important questions, but I'm all over the map when you look at it. Okay, where do they vacation? Answer, nowhere. I hate travel. So what does that make me? Oh, now you're one of us because you don't vacation. Number two, how much do you spend on a haircut? Nothing. I don't get them. I usually look in a mirror like a convict with a scissor and cut the back of my head because I can't stand barbershops. I don't like the breath of the barber. I don't like the people in a barbershop. I can't get anyone to come to my house to cut my hair. I do it with a mirror and a scissor just as well. Number four. How much do you spend on business attire? Answer, none. I never wear a suit and tie. And if I do, you're not going to believe this one. In a million years, you won't believe it. From the period of my life prior to being on radio, which goes back over 16 years this March 20th, I had business suits from my previous life as a corporate consultant and a lecturer. You know what I did? I swear to God, 3 months ago, I was going to throw the suits out. I took them to a tailor and had them refit. Why? It's in my blood not to throw away good material. I told you when I was a kid, my father would make me wear dead man's pants because he didn't buy me new clothes. He bought it from the dead man. It's a famous story from Psychological Nudity. They cut him off at the knee and blah, 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 and I had to wear dead man's pants. But he taught me the value of a good piece of fabric. So when I was going to throw out a Hot Shaft Remarks suit, I said, how can I do this? It was against my will. I had it refit. Am I wearing it? No, I still don't wear it. But I know now if I should die, I have a suit ready for me. So I don't spend anything on business clothing. Next question. Where do they like to go out and eat? Answer, I like takeout food. I prefer from a cheap Chinese and Japanese restaurant in my neighborhood. Under $10 a meal is my preference. Do I go to other restaurants? Yes, you've heard me talk about them when I'm in the mood. But generally, I like to eat at home watching television. I'm in the media. I like to watch the news, or I like to watch the Science Channel or Military History or Discovery so that I can learn something. I can't waste a spare minute, in other words, sitting in a restaurant. I can't take listening to other people. So I'm all over the map. I have a big boat and I have a small boat. I have an old car. I have a new car. I have old clothes and no new clothes. I cut my own hair and I go out to eat in a lunchbox in my kitchen. So what does that make me? It makes me me. So what in the world is the point of this story? No one's calling on this. It's amazing. You try something original and the lights don't go on. So I will go to something basic now. Already it's too hard. You didn't hear about this on Fat Boy Show in the morning, so you can't talk about it. Here we go. Let's go to the regular stories on michaelsavage.com, the meat and potatoes of talk radio here, and we'll see how the average guy can... Because I realize a guy listening to me is like on a tractor somewhere near the silo, and he doesn't know what I'm talking about. All right, here's the headline. Hillary shafts U.S. glass companies and buys Swedish. Did you hear that story? No, Mike, I didn't. What's it about? Hillary Clinton is spending $5.4 million to buy fine crystal stemware for American embassies, but she will not buy them from U.S. companies such as Steuben Glass. Instead, the contract was given to a crony, a minority-owned business, and I'm going to get into it now. You know the minority-owned business thing is a scam. You know that. You've known it for years. Many of you, in fact, have hired minorities to be your front person to get contracts, when in fact it's not a minority-owned business. So the State Department wants to buy $5.4 million in the crystal, which they need very badly, as you well know, in a time like this, while telling you they're tightening their belt. Unto itself, that's an outrage. But instead of going to a U.S. company like Steuben, she gives it to a no-bid, she gives a no-bid contract to a minority, quote-unquote, minority firm, and the minority firm lets it to a Swedish glass company, not an American company. Topic number two. Savage predicts the following. U.S. military will eventually be sent to fight Mexican drug gangs. Now, the reason I say that is that the border wars have spilled over onto our borders. It's acknowledged over the weekend that Big Sis has permitted drug gangs to infiltrate the Border Patrol. There are murders going on now in the U.S. that the police themselves cannot contain. And we will wind up again at war with Mexico as sure as I'm standing here. As sure as I'm standing here, the U.S. military will rightly be taken out of Korea and put on a border with Mexico when and if we get a patriotic government. That's what's going to happen. It's a prediction. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Don't blame it on me. I'm not guilty, can't you see? Don't blame it on me.
All right, let's stop for a minute. Play Blue Monday. Most of my listeners are depressed that they didn't hear Fats Domino with Blue Monday, even though I opened with something else. They feel jilted. Yeah, Blue Monday, play that song. Now Blue they'll feel Monday. The show started. Hear Blue Monday, whatever, whatever.
Got to work, flag a sleeve on deep.
Even the cadence was slow. It was nice. All right, we got the pictures. Blue Monday. I got a headache on me. It's the worst allergy season of my life. I knew it was coming. The rains this year. We knew what to expect. Those of us who know nature, we don't need the global warming lies. The rains, then come the flowers, then come the pollen, then comes the sinus, then comes the hands, then comes the feet, then comes the skin. I'm pow-hunting out of here. I got to get out. I got to get to the East Coast. I got to run from this. Isn't it a paradox, life? You wait all winter for the spring to see the flowers. And look at this. I'm trained as a botanist on top of it all. I mean, I worship, in a way, the beauty of nature. It puts me in touch with God directly. And the very thing I love gets me sick. I had a doctor friend, the best in the world, died last year. God rest his soul, Dr. C. And he used to say we're addicted to that which we crave, we're addicted to. Or addicted to that what we crave. Or we crave that what we're addicted to. He meant with food. It was 100% true. Let's say you eat a lot of cheese and dairy. You're allergic to it. Or sugar. You're allergic to it. Whatever you crave, you're allergic to. He was right. That doesn't mean that you can do anything about it. Anyway, I was talking about wealth, and does it disqualify a man from running for office? The answer is, of course not. Kennedy was a wealthy man. Apparently, the people connected with him. Did it stop Kennedy? No. When he had the money, suddenly money was good. But now, if a Republican has more money than a Democrat, they're evil. So how are you going to buy this garbage? The whole media is Marxist-Leninist, run by a bunch of adults who went to journalism school because they couldn't do anything else for a living. And their whole credo is one of Marxist-Leninism. Listen to this schmuck Friedman from the New York Times. If ever you doubted that Pinchy Sulzberger and that Stalinist gang hated America and our way of life, listen to what Thomas Friedman had to say about how much superior the dictatorship of China is. Listen to this.
I've been saying for a while, Tom, there's only one thing worse than one-party autocracy, the Chinese form of government, and that's one-party democracy. In China, if the leadership can get around to an enlightened decision, it can order it from the top down. Okay. Here, when you have one party democracy, one party ruling, basically, and the other party basically saying no, every solution is suboptimal.
Well, hello, finish it.
When your chief competitor in the world can order optimal and you can only produce suboptimal, because what happens, you know, whether it's health care or the energy bill, votes 1 through 50 cost you a lot. Votes 50 to 59 cost you a fortune. And votes 60, his name's Ben Nelson. And by the time you've made all those compromises, you end up with the description David had of the health care bill, which is this Rube Goldberg contraption. I hope it passes. I hope it works. But I can't tell you, I think it's optimal.
All right, get this creep off my show. Here is a left-wing fanatic from the New York Times, who I've always seen through, from the day I first saw the schmuck enter the scene, Tom Friedman. He couldn't hold a candle to my dog's behind, as far as I'm concerned. This putz has the nerve to go on the record saying that our system is broken and that China's system of autocracy is better than ours. Now, you know that in the 1930s, the New York Times favored Soviet Stalinism, Stalin's Soviet system. They had a guy named Durante writing for the New York Times. He was in the camp of the Soviets. They promoted pro-Soviet writing, and it's like ancient history to you. Here we are living through it again. Once again, the New York Times shows its roots. Its roots are in socialist fascism. Now, let's go back to what I'm talking about. Wealth. Does wealth necessitate evil? Does poverty necessitate goodness? I read a book when I was a young man trying to figure things out entitled The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed, written by the great Bertrand Russell. And it caught me off guard. What do you mean the superior virtue of the oppressed? Well, he was being sarcastic. He was arguing, even though he was a socialist, he was a brilliant, brilliant mathematician and philosopher in some ways. Bertrand Russell was arguing that just because you're oppressed doesn't mean you have superior virtue. And just because you may be wealthy doesn't mean you have inferior virtue. Do you get understanding what I'm saying? But now we're living through a new ethos in America where wealth is automatically assumed to have been gotten illicitly or illegally. And in some cases, it is true. Just look at the Democrat Party. It's rife with the illegitimate. But it doesn't mean it's 100% true. So there it goes. What, a bigger boat means you're a bad guy, and no boat means you're a good guy. So by that definition, the beggar is the superior man. By that definition, the homeless person is the saint, and anyone who has a decent life and house is a bum. I don't buy it. Don't call me on it. Means nothing. 1-800-449-8255. If you earned it, spend it. It's your business. It's not the government's business to tell you how to spend your money. San Francisco, Kelly, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, I cannot believe I'm actually talking to you. Oh, I have to say two things. First of all, you're an extended part of the family. My dad passed away, God rest his soul, almost 20 years ago. But I'm telling you, you sitting in the front seat, in the passenger seat of your dad's truck, you guys driving on the way into work, you're given the recipes of what your mom's making. I can taste, I can smell. I can do all this stuff when I listen to you. And
now, Kelly, are you a native San Franciscan?
Well, I hate to say it, I'm a native Californian, and I want out of this friggin' state so bad.
You mean you're okay? I can make a few remarks about native San Franciscans. I won't do it. What's the primary point of your call other than to say you love me?
I worship you. No, my 17-year-old son. I'm not married. My 17-year-old son, he enjoys you. At work, it's the hush-hush. Hey, did you listen to Michael Savage today?
I'm the missing family man. I'm the man who used to be in every household. I'm the man who says it like it is. I'm the guy in the house that was thrown out by radical feminism. I'm the guy in the house who ran away from the striking wife. I'm the guy in the house who's raising your son. Am I right or wrong?
You're right, and you're the only man around, like my dad, who would reference a pair of pants as trousers.
Somewhere beyond the sea.
So now you have the New York Times dolt Tom Friedman coming out openly saying that the one-party system of China is better than the United States of America. How many years have I told you that the New York Times, we know they're liberal, okay, that's a given. But you didn't know that they were Stalinists, did you? Did you know they were open communists? No. I'm trying to educate you. Your government is an open communist government. Any European looking at America would know that we have a communist presidency. Say a communist, yeah, oh, red beret and marching with a flag. No, moron, that's not how it works today. It works this way. It works with let the people be damned. We will force any bill we want down their throats. They're not going to remember it anyway. They're too stupid, they're too stoned, and they're too salacious. The three S's. Stupid, stoned, salacious. If you can spell any two of them, then you know what I'm talking about. In fact, if you can spell salacious, you know what I'm talking about. Runaway Prius case presents nagging questions. I've been looking at this. I don't buy it. The man's claim that the Prius sped out of control on California freeway. Nah, this is a lie. They questioned the motives of the driver, a 61-year-old real estate agent named James Sykes. Some people are even invoking the infamous Balloon Boy hoax in expressing doubts about the story. Now, don't get me wrong. I would like to see the Prius pulled off the road because I can't stand any of the drivers of the Prius. By and large, they're like bicycle riders on country roads. They're snotty. They have the superior virtue thing on their face. I just don't like Priuses nor the faces on people with Priuses. But that's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is what's fair is fair. He claims that the accelerator pedal stuck. And yet, the Highway Patrol officer said that's inconsistent. Toyota says that all Priuses are equipped with a computer system that cuts power to the wheels if the brake and gas pedals are depressed at the same time as Sykes said he was doing. So it seems to be a fraud. What you don't know about this guy who claimed it is this. He's like your brother-in-law, in other words. Sykes filed for bankruptcy in San Diego in 2008. According to documents, he was more than $700,000 in debt and owed roughly $18,000 to $19,000 on his Prius. In 2001, the same guy filed a police report with the Mercer County Sheriff's Department for $58,000 in stolen property, including jewelry, and digital video camera equipment, and $24,000 in cash. Nonsense. Nonsense. Sykes won. So I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. The runaway Prius case sounds like a fraud. I think that if they find out that he made the whole thing up, what can they do about it, frankly? How can they prove it didn't happen to him? Many of the fraud artists coming forward now are saying it happened only once. They can't reproduce it. That's called Fantasy Island. That is called Fantasy Island. Now, speaking of Fantasy Island, Obama's going to push the greatest fraud in American history down our throats, whether we want it or not, this week with a little help from Bela Lugosi, Bela Lugosi's illegitimate granddaughter. And they're going to say the people are so stupid, they're not going to remember it come October. Well, I don't know whether they're going to remember it or not. I do know that Goebbels, the propaganda minister for Hitler, said if you tell a big lie often enough, it will become the truth. And I do know that they pushed the big lie about health care so often that most of the ignoramuses in America believe it's the truth. Just as Al Corleone, the head of the Corleone Crime Syndicate, has so successfully lied about global warming, which they changed to climate change, that most children now think that the polar bears are dying and that there's actually a thing called global warming caused by man. That's because the techniques of propaganda today are so much superior to that of Leni Riefenstahl and those in Hitler's time that it's much easier to brainwash an entire generation. And so that brings me to the next thing, which is thanks for listening. I'll be back in a few days. 1-800-449. No, I'm a little... my staff knows what I mean. It's an internal joke. Not one call about the haircut. Not one call about that whole piece I did. It's terrible. If you do this, I'm going to start reading the Bible again. Keep this up. I'm going to filibuster with the Bible. You know, I like the filibuster technique in Congress. They have it for a reason. But I don't like to be filibustered by a dentist with halitosis, which is why I don't get haircuts. I was trying to tell you that earlier. Then I thought about something else. Remember a few weeks ago I amused on the show, why does nature do this to middle-aged men? Why do they reduce the hair on our heads and increase the hair on our backs, ears, and nose? I couldn't understand it. And then it dawned on me that the reason we start to lose our hair in middle age is so we can avoid the barber. It's actually a blessing. God does this to middle-aged men to enable you to avoid the halitosis and the boring stories. That's the whole reason that it gives you baldness in middle age. Because nose hair you can cut yourself. Ear hair you can cut yourself. I once had a turbo groomer put out when I was a local host, they gave me one. I forget, are they still in business, the Sharper Image? I don't even know. I think they went out, right? I can say something about them. I think they went out. Sharper Image. Any day I had a nose groomer. I still have the thing. And you turn it on and it has a little thing that spins around like a little weed cutter for your nose. Very nice. You put it in your ear. I started to think about it. If you put like a little weed cutter in your ear and it spins around with those little invisible blades and the little tiny hairs fall down your ear canal, that can't be good for your hearing. Likewise in your nose, why would God want you to trim, or nature, let's say you don't believe in, why would nature want you to trim the hairs in your nose? It's meant to keep flies out. So I can think back into the ancient times, like you lived, let's say, your great-grand, whatever. They lived in Syria, where the meat spoiled because there was no refrigeration, no preservatives, and there were flies on the meat in the butcher stall. In other words, if you go to the Middle East today, it's the same thing as it was 500 years ago. The same mentality, the same method of not, the same intolerance for everyone around them. It can all be seen in the amount of flies around the meat. In other words, the more flies around the meat, the more intolerant the personality. But getting back to the nose hair, in other words, if you live in a place where there's a lot of flies around the meat because there's no preservatives, then you understand why nature permits the middle-aged man to have more nose hair and more ear hair. It's to keep the critters out from going in your ear or nose. So you say, well, why don't young people have that? Well, it's a flaw in the original intelligent design. Perhaps there will come a time that young children will evolve to the point where they also have the equivalent of Uncle Moe's nose and ear hair, and they too will be free of the plague of meat flies. Okay, I warned the guys this would happen today. I am so not interested in the news that I can't do it anymore. I can't take it. I swear to God, I can't take it anymore. Not one minute can I take another minute of the communist government I'm working with here. And here's another story, enough to get a chest pain like someone put a band around your chest. University snubs Supreme Court Justice John Roberts. So-called Butler University deems Chief Justice too controversial to take stage as speaker at niece's graduation. Did you ever hear anything like this in your life? First of all, I never heard of Butler University. I mean, maybe you go there to learn how to be a butler, but there are no butlers in America. Butler University? What the hell is Butler University? Would you want your son to go to a place called Butler University? Where did you go to school, young man? I went to Butler University. And what did you study? How to be a butler? Sorry, you're not hired. We try to steal clear of politics. Political divides are possible, said Butler faculty Senate President Gene Van Tiel. You're kidding me. But a left-wing fanatic you would have there? John Roberts of the Supreme Court, you wouldn't have to speak at Butler University? You're kidding me. But you'd have Hillary Clinton or some other left-wing slimeball from Hollywood? It's unbelievable to me. Do you know anybody who's gone to Butler University? I don't. Indianapolis? Who would go to... University faculty member scuttled a student-led drive to invite Roberts to speak at the May 8th ceremony. Listen, I know a lot about this. I am one of the most distinguished men in the United States of America. I've also written wonderful books. I have a great radio show. I've never been invited to give a commencement speech. I could rouse the students to their feet. I could make them jump and scream, but a few left-wing fanatic communists and thieves would not permit it. So I don't care one way or the other. Madeleine Albright will speak at Butler this month, a really unreliable woman. Here's a woman, Madeleine Albright, who committed war crimes killing thousands of people in Serbia. Her, they find non-controversial. Maybe she could talk about her legs. Imagine how deranged this slob is, Madeleine Albright. She wrote a book called Pins about her legs. Couldn't understand why it sold 12 copies. 11 of them to relatives in mental hospitals and one to the publisher to send overseas to Saudi Arabia. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. See, I brought something up about frugality and not a call. Did anyone hear how I opened about the cars? What kind of car? What kind of boat? What kind of haircut? What kind of clothes? Where do you eat? Remember I said, where do you eat? In other words, let's say I have a big boat. I have a little boat. Let's say I have a new car. I have an old car. Clothes I don't buy. There's no need for them. What do you need clothing for? Unless, I mean, look, if you go to work, yes. If you have a job, it's a uniform. You wear the best you can. I understand that. But the uniform for being a radio host is quite a convenient uniform. It's called whatever's on the floor that day that the dog hasn't dragged around the house. No, I'm not at that. Beowulf, don't do that. They know I don't need that. They know I'm groping, but please, let's not get to that level. Because the day I actually need a laugh track, I'm leaving radio. Please. The day I really need it, forget about it. What the month is this? I don't know the year, the month. I don't know where I'm at. And for my people, babies, their master, and women shall rule over them. Okay, we did that already Friday, Monday. Is Easter holiday? Are they on a spring break already? Bike ride every day. Is there more children playing? No one's in school anymore. What did they teach them? Monday the school starts in October now. They start it later. So between October and November, they learn how to put a condom on a cucumber. Then they take a Thanksgiving break, which lasts about 3 weeks. Then they go back to school for 2 weeks to learn how to put a cucumber on a condom. And then they go out for Christmas, winter, worship the solstice break. They come back mid-January from that long break. The next thing you know, it's immediately spring break. And the children are on break again. And this semester is going to be given over to learning how to spit on the American flag and how to set it on fire with two sticks and a mirror. Butler University deems Chief Justice Robert. That's horrible. If you graduated from Butler, don't send them any money. None arraigned a new... What? A nun did something wrong? I don't believe this. None arraigned on new charges in girls' kidnapping. Wait a minute. The attorney for a nun accused of taking a two-year-old girl, fleeing the country, has entered a not guilty plea in Central Florida court for witness tampering charge. Laura Caballero did not appear in court Monday. She was attempting to alter the testimony of a woman who notarized the power of the nun that Caballero used to take the girl to Argentina. Authorities say the nun bullied a family in the U.S. illegally, taking the daughter to Argentina for 6 months. Nah, this doesn't make sense. She didn't take the two-year-old to do anything with her. There was something more to this. It's to bring the child to a family. You see, they're trying to smear the Catholic Church now. They didn't do enough damage 10 years ago. Now they want to kill it altogether. Oh, God. The Catholic Church does nothing for me. In fact, they don't like me because I came out against illegal aliens. And so the Catholic League attacked me. After supporting them for 10 years, they attacked me for saying that the Catholic Church, you know, should be ashamed of themselves for supporting wanting to grant amnesty to illegal aliens. So I'm not doing this because I want anything from anybody, but this is wrong. Nuns are nice people. I never met a nun I didn't like. I like, they're very, like, nice ladies in my neighborhood. Wherever I lived, I was always near a rectory and nunneries, wherever I lived. The rectory I wouldn't go near. I didn't like the name. Even as a kid, I knew to stay away from them. But the nunneries, I was always, I felt safe around them. There was something like, I lived on Utopia Parkway in Queens. I swear to God, there was a big church. I used to like to watch the people going in on Sunday. It was very nice, dressed up. And the nuns were always, like, together. They never bothered anybody. But, like, across the street, to this day, I dream of bypassing the rectory on the other side of the street. It was always, like, on the corner in a house. And it was like, guys always came out, like, with a weird fan. No, truthfully, they always came out. They always had too close a shave. I don't know. Their faces were always, like, pink. Overly pink and too close a shave and too much cologne. All I can say, even as a young kid, I stayed away from that area. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are, I'd like to wake up and find. Devil or angel.
So now U.S. consular employees are being whacked in Mexico. It's unbelievable what's going on down there. I wouldn't go there. I'm never going to. I always, you know. First of all, Turista years ago, I never liked it. But the family had an infatuation somewhat with it. I don't even like Mexico, truthfully. There's nothing there for me. The food, there's nothing. You want the sun, you go to Hawaii or Florida. Well, I mean, what do you need Mexico for? You know, that's all. What's this? Minorities disappointed as hope and change fail to deliver. Oh, the Hispanics are bailing out on the president. This just came out of World Net Daily. That's interesting. Oh, they're not happy enough. They didn't get enough out of the deal. President Obama is losing his core constituency as black and Hispanic minorities have begun charging the candidate Obama liked them with a message of hope and change. Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens by Friday. This is a big week. Very big week. You know that they're going to push it no matter what. And at this point, there's almost nothing you can do about it. I'm trying to, like, do, you know, damage control in terms of how badly can they hurt me personally in demanding that I pay for the deadbeats and the illegal aliens. That's all I want to know. All I want to know is how much is it going to cost me to pay for the illegal alien health care? I'm paying for it anyway right now. I'm paying it anyway. And I resent it. So how much worse is it going to be under Obama is what I want to know. I know it's going to be worse, not better. I mean, the cost is going to go up, not down. In terms of health care, personally, is it going to affect me? I don't know. I asked many doctors. I don't know if the individual doctor is going to be able to practice after Obama gets through with them. See, I feel that if you want to have a two-tiered health system in America, that's fine because that's the way it should be. You get what you pay for in the world anyway, don't you? Oh, you don't like that? Well, I do like it. Let me explain what I mean by that. When you go to a baseball game, do you get box seats on the field? No, you don't. You sit wherever you can afford, right? You get a box seat if you're if you have a lot of money or you know someone or you're a wealthy person, whatever. You get a box seat right on the, you know, the third, whatever. Boom. You go to a boxing match. Where do you sit? You sit wherever you can afford to buy a seat. You don't sit right up front with the Pacquiao fight. You're not paying $6,000 for a seat, are you? Same thing with health care. If you can afford to sit next to the ring, I believe you should be able to pay for the best doctors in the country. Now, if those doctors care to be altruistic and after, you know, off duty, they want to do operations for free or reduced rates, good luck to them. But I don't owe it to you. Why do I owe to you the best surgeon in America? Tell me where it's written in my Constitution that I have to pay for you to have the best surgeon in the country or the best ologist. It's not written anywhere. Where did this concept come that you are entitled to a Mercedes-level healthcare system? Tell me where that's written. That's another fantasy of the Soviet-era propaganda mentality in this country. Everything is supposedly a right. You don't have a right to any of that. So as I say, if there was a reasonable expectation of decent health care for the average person that the government paid for along the lines of Canada or England, where the elites don't accept that, they go to America for the treatment, just as in every other socialized country, they go elsewhere for treatment, whether it be Cuba or wherever, they fly to Miami to see Dr. Berkowitz at some secret clinic with a mustache and a nose and the glasses, so no one knows that they're really a dictator from a South America banana republic. Then they go back and they speak about the people. But they don't take the treatment that they give the people. You think they want to go to a clinic with a guy who went to the University of Havana with a dirty smock with no medication in the clinic? How long can you blame America for that? So they go to Dr. Goldberg in the University of Miami. They sneak in with a disguise. Or in Sloan Kettering, if they want real treatment. And it's the same here. This is going to happen here. But I just don't know, truthfully. I've tried to find out. I can't. Whether they will permit the individual physician to continue to practice his profession under the new Soviet Obamacare that we're going to get. I don't know what level of freedom there will be. And we're going to have to see after they jam it down our throats. And how much it's going to cost, nobody knows. More, yes. Less care for all, yes. Longer lines for the average person, yes. We don't really know the ins and outs because they're changing it by the day in order to buy off votes. But if you want to talk about my controversial statement that there should be a several-tier medical system, I'd be willing to discuss that with you. Where does it say that you are entitled to the equivalent health care of the United States president or a corporate executive or someone who can afford to pay the best? Even a poor person. You see, it's not restricted by class or by race, is it? I didn't say it should be restricted by class or race. I said that if you have the money, you should have access to the best doctors in the country and pay the going rate. And I use the analogy of going to a sporting event where you don't sit in the front because you can't afford it. You sit in the back or in the bleachers because that's all you're entitled to, because that's all you can afford. And I believe that that's what the same system should apply to medical care. If it doesn't apply to medical care and everyone gets the same treatment, everyone will get less treatment and the best people will not become doctors. You will have the equivalent of the Soviet era physician where the doctor was considered lower than a school teacher because most people with brains would not go into the medical professions in the Soviet Union because it didn't pay enough. That's all. That's my position. If you don't like it, argue with me. Tell me why I'm wrong. You know the phone number. It's the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. I'm open for business. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Pelosi ready.
Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play.
All right, so Savage Nation, let's get ready for a laugh. Let's play Nancy Lugosi on the healthcare scam. Let's have a little of that with
I'm
a laugh track.
I'm delighted that the president will be here for the passage of the bill. It's going to be historic, and it would not be possible without his tremendous, tremendous leadership, his persistence, his concern for the American people. always guided by his statement that we will measure our success by the progress being made by America's working families. This legislation not only makes history, but it will make progress for America's working families.
Well, let me ask you, so does anyone listening to this show, anyone listening to this show actually believe that your health care will be better under the revision? Is anyone listening to this show of the opinion that you will have superior health care and better people will go into medicine under Obamacare? And explain why. Don't just say, yes, I believe so. Try to give me an intelligent call or else I'm not going to speak with you. You won't get on the show. If the health care reform that Obama is so desperate to pass is so good, why must he bend so many arms and bribe so many politicians? If this Obamacare is so great, how come most of us don't know what will be in the plan? If the extension of coverage to the 30 million plus Americans who are not covered is so wonderful, who will pay for it? If federal deficits are actually going to go down, why do most people who have studied it say they will go up? Why is Obama so obsessed with this to the extent that he's willing to destroy the Democrat Party to push it? That's what I'd like to know. And the answer, of course, is pretty clear. Moreover, the prescription drug donut hole, what does that mean? What that means is under current law, Medicare stops covering drug costs after a plan and beneficiary have spent more than $2,800 on prescription drugs. And it starts paying again after an individual's out-of-pocket expenses exceed $4,500, right? So that means that they have to pay for some of their prescription drugs themselves. Well, now that's going to be eliminated. That means you're now going to pay for all prescriptions. Now, how's that going to lower costs? Now, what about the so-called Cadillac tax on union medical plans? Well, they're now reducing them because the unions have lobbied sufficiently that the union members will not be taxed on their high-end Cadillac plans until 2018, and they're also raising the income threshold to which the tax is imposed. In other words, they're changing it every day. They're changing it every day to satisfy special interests, which, so far as I know, is not very democratic. And that's why I tell you right now, no matter what you think you're going to get it in the you-know-what from this government. That's all I can tell you. Why are people spending $1 million a day on health care ads on both sides? Because there's an awful lot at stake. And right now they're fighting over the biggest piece of the pie imaginable, which is the health care. But coming right after that will be the next scam, which is the climate scare scam. They're going to try and put a cap and tax bill through that will destroy the middle class by increments. First, the health scam where you'll pay for it. Then the cap and tax scam where you'll pay for it. Then the granting of amnesty to illegal aliens where you'll pay for it. One day after another, this administration is targeting one class in this country and one class only. That class is the middle class, which comprises the largest audience of talk radio. And that's why we should talk about that. 1-800-449-8255. New York City, W.R. Roy, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael. So I just had a... I've been thinking about what you said about, you know, people should be able to pay for what they can afford when it comes to health care. I kind of have a tough time thinking, agreeing with that, because I don't think health care is a house or a car or a boat. You know, you're talking about people's life, and we should all have access to care.
Well,
right?
Hold on now, but what? Wait a minute, my friend, who's supposed to pay for it, though?
I agree with you that paying for it is the challenge, okay? I would hate to think that because I cannot afford to pay and I go and I see my doctor, the best treatment that might benefit me as a human is not going to be given.
Well, let me tell you something. Right now, you're not getting the best doctors in New York City anyway. You're not paying for it, so you're not getting it. They have closed practices the same way that any elite club has a closed entrance policy. You're not getting in to see the best oncologist in New York unless you're rich or famous. You're not getting in there. So it exists already. You're not, but you don't really think that on Obamacare they're going to take the best oncologist in Manhattan and make him treat the indigent, are you?
No, I agree with you there. But the thing is, I should have access. I should not be, the position should not be, well, can you afford to pay for the best health care?
Well, in principle, that's what I think it should be, too, but I'm not a child anymore. Everything that I have in my life is graded on how much I can pay for it. When you go to a sporting event, do you think it's the government's responsibility to make sure you get box seats?
My health is not a sporting event. That's my argument, and I don't think my health...
Wait a minute, but why is your health my problem? In other words, if you made yourself sick through faulty living, why should I pay for it? Let's take it from that perspective. We're not talking about a car wreck in an emergency. You're going to go to an average hospital. You're going to get as good a care as you can get, no matter who you are, whoever's on duty. But let's say, outside of that, why is your health the burden of society when you, in fact, may be responsible for your sad state of health? And moreover, why should the man who has spent his entire life resisting dessert, resisting fats, exercising and not smoking, who is now 60 years old and never had a heart attack, why should he not be rewarded in some way for his health practices?
Michael, you make very good points. You know, that's one reason why I like listening to your show.
But well, I'm not coming at this from the point of view of you're bad because you're this race or you're good because you're that race. You know that by now. Never mind the lies you hear. But in other words, a system is inequitable to begin with. I don't know where it's written that everyone is entitled to the best oncologist or gastroenterologist in America. Because the day that happens, fewer people are going to go into these fields, and you're going to have more mediocre people in medicine. So I have a very, very different view of medicine than you may imagine. I'll give you, I don't know, Roy, how long have you listened to my show off and on? Months, years?
Oh, no, but probably about 5 or 6 years now.
All right, when my dad, rest his soul, had a heart attack when he was in his 40s, I'll never forget as long as I live. I was in Monticello, New York, summer, in his 40s, got a heart attack, goes in the oxygen tent, and the doctor comes to the family and says, it's going to cost you $100 a week for my care. Now, $100 a week in that time period was like, I don't know, $1,000 a week now? We just didn't have it. But guess what? We got it together. So the principal breadwinner is sick. He's in an emergency room, rather than an oxygen tent. There's no money coming in, so we had to take it out of savings, and we had to give it to this doctor who was simply doing his rounds in the hospital. I thought that was very unfair. I thought that the government or somebody should pay for my father's care when he had the heart attack. But guess what? Nobody did. So what happens? You go on with life. Where is it written that they had to take care of me?
I just think that at its very core, you will be introducing, like you said, multi-tiered levels of health care that only the rich will get the best health care. And if you're poor, you know what? You're condemned to death. And I just don't think that we as human beings want that. We just don't want that.
Well, wait a minute. Let's, again, we may not want that, but, you know, the world is not fair, number one, and you get what you pay for, number two. I don't care what society you are in. I don't care what realm of life you are in. You're already getting different levels of treatment. When you go out to eat, do you get into the finest restaurants in New York? You couldn't even get in there, probably. They tell you there's no table, right?
But you're probably right, but my food, like I said, I'm not...
No, wait a minute. I don't want to go to the best restaurants, personally. I mean, to bring it down to the level. I'd rather eat at home and do takeout from a Chinese joint, as far as I'm concerned. So that doesn't matter to me. But let's say, God forbid, you or I got sick right now. You'd be taken by an ambulance to which hospital in New York? Probably a very good hospital, right?
Probably the closest one.
All right, but wait. Let's say you had a heart attack, God forbid. They would take you in, and you'd get the same exact treatment. They wouldn't know whether you were a titan on Wall Street or basically a very poor man. Nobody would know who you were unless you were very famous and your name jumped right off the page. You know what I'm saying? Or his lawyer came in with him. Or he had a private ambulance come get him. But if God forbid an emergency, you're getting the same treatment now whether you're very rich or very poor in this country in a hospital.
Right. I agree with you.
All right. Hold on. So right now you already have a system that is very democratic. I predict that it will become less democratic under Obamacare. The minute the government comes in and says, you must do this, and we're going to check on whether you did it, and was there racism, was there thisism or thatism, what you're going to do is you're going to drive more and more people out of medicine is what you're going to do, and you're going to have more and more mediocre people in medicine. You're going to have a quality decrease in medicine is my point. You know, like everything else, there are things that we would like, and things that are real in the real world. I don't like the idea that people go into medicine for money. It always bothered me. In the ideal world, no, a man should go to school or a woman for 15 years to make nothing. Well, who's going to do that? Who's going to sacrifice and go through all of that unless there's a reward at the end of whatever kind that may be involved? And it's usually monetary. Why would a person go to medical school and 4 years more and then four another 12, 13, 14 years before they make a dime unless they figure they're going to make $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 the first year out of that and then maybe a few million dollars a year after that to make up for all the years that they didn't have it? That's the way it's always worked. So you got some of the best and brightest people willing to forestall their income for a number of years to make it back on the other end. They're not even going into medicine anymore. Most of the brightest kids don't even go in that world anymore. They give them a movie camera to go to NYU and they want to make some movie. They think they're all going to be Steven Spielberg. And it's one of the reasons that we've lost so many good people out of the sciences and out of medicine, because there's no instant reward anymore. So now you take the same discussion and you take it down to now where there's not even a back-end reward. You're going to have very mediocre people in medicine, which is already what we have. Take a look at your hospitals today. What percentage of them are American-born? What, 40%? 30%? Does that mean that they're not as good doctors? My guess is yes, they're not as good doctors. That's right. Generally, the third world people in the hospitals are not as good as the American trained doctors. That's been my experience. Thanks for listening. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Eddie, my love, I love you so much.
I'll tell you, the last caller really struck me in a way. I liked hearing that guy. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. My guess is that he's an American citizen. of immigrant origins, like myself, in a way, probably of Hispanic origin. And we probably disagree on so many things, but he said, the reason I like listening to you is you make me basically think through things. And really, when I get serious, I'll give both sides to an argument or present my side to the argument as strongly as he's ever heard. That's really the best kind of caller that I could ever ask for. I like to goof around a little bit because, after all, radio is primarily an entertainment medium and you got to keep people interested. You know, people get distracted easily. They can listen to music, sports, this and that. So if they are doing me the privilege and the honor of listening to my show, I got to deliver on the goods. And let me tell you, at the end of the day, they got to know that they got value for the money of listening. That's what it comes down to. It may not cost anything to listen to a radio show, but I actually ask myself every day, you know, did I perform? Did I give them their money's worth? Otherwise, they don't listen. Why would you listen? Why would I listen to a show if I didn't get something out of it? Well, I have to just get a laugh. I can get a laugh anywhere, you know. So, anyway, thank you for that call, whoever you might be out there in radio land. Let's go to the callers, 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Mariola in New York on WR. Mariola, go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I was calling to commend you on your frugality, and I think that your father and my father, who came to this country from Poland in 1964, they're kindred spirits. They really are. And as a child, you know, we just did what we were told. I'm the eldest of six children. I have a sister who's 14 years younger than me. And, you know, kids...
Well, we may have done what we were told until we became teenagers, and I didn't do what I was told at that point. I don't know about you.
Oh, my friends were swimming in their pools, and we were harvesting vegetables and fruit.
Oh, okay. Well, that's right. Even in the neighborhood I lived in, I was the only kid who worked on Saturday in my father's store. I hated it. Don't think I liked it. He said you have to work in order to get tougher, in order to know what a dollar is worth. I didn't want to go in. I wanted to stay home and goof around with my friends, but I couldn't. He wouldn't let me.
My father is retired in Vermont now, Dr. Savage, and you think...
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it. He's around Red Robin territory, huh?
Oh, my gosh, please, Ted, you don't have to remind... It's awful, but honestly, the man is living off the land now, and why? He said it reminds him of Poland, you know, the terrain, and he says...
Well, he knew how to grow things. You know what a rare thing that is, to know how to grow a vegetable? Let me tell you, as a city guy myself, who has a couple of suburban properties... My biggest thrill is to grow fruit trees and tomatoes. It's still a miracle to me.
Ground that did not bear fruit. He just, forget about landscaping. If it did not bear
right.
fruit.
Right. I know that many European immigrants of my generation would not waste even a lawn. They grew, even in Queens, some of them in their backyard, they grew vegetables. They thought it was a waste of land to grow grass, as strange as that sounds.
We had rhubarb. We had cucumbers, carrots, tomatoes. I mean, we used to go in between the tomatoes and have to kill the little...
Well, then Michelle Obama should give you an award. She likes the Liberty Garden. We should have the Liberty Garden, and you should be in charge of the Liberty Garden Project. Mariola, thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm getting swamped with New York callers today. That's fine. San Diego, Ian, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, how are you?
I know you called to disagree with me, and I'd rather you have your say, so please go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to comment. You just had a caller call in and say that, or your opinion was, doctors that are naturally born are better than doctors that are born overseas. And I quite frankly disagree with you. You cannot make that comment at all.
Well, I can make it in my experience. In general, the third world doctors I have had in my visits to hospitals, whether it was a language problem, which, by the way, unto itself is not the biggest problem, but it is an impediment to healing and treatment. I would argue that a language problem is as much a problem as a lack of education or quality education as anything. And I would say that my treatment from American-born doctors has, by and large, been far superior.
Okay.
Now, are you yourself a doctor?
No, I'm not. But I'm in the trucking business. But I just went to the doctor.
Okay, so I don't know what that has to do with the price of tomatoes. My statement is that when my visits to the hospital, in general, in emergency rooms, I got much better treatment from American-born doctors than from third-world doctors. I don't see why that's controversial.
Savage.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist, your voice is calling.
'tis twilight time.
All right, I want to name names for you right now. For years, I've talked about the enemy within. I've told you about rats in this country who are going to kill us all unless we stop them. I'm going to name the name of a firm in New York City, a law firm, one of the biggest law firms in the city, in the country, that I believe have committed what I consider to be treasonous acts. The name of the firm is Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Wharton, and Garrison. Now, why do I name them when they're so powerful and so important? Read the story up on michaelsavage.com entitled Gitmo's Indefensible Lawyers, which I posted from the Wall Street Journal. These were legal counsel to some of the detainees at Gitmo, but they went far beyond vigorous representation of their clients. In fact, what they did was they gave them a brochure. A brochure was sent to them by secure mail, which was supposed to contain only legal documents. And they gave them an 18-page color brochure. And it showed the detainees in orange jumpsuits at Camp X-Ray 4 months after 9/11. It was written entirely in Arabic. And it showed pictures of what appeared to be detainee operations in Iraq. And the cover read in Arabic, "Cruel, inhuman, degrades us all, stop torture and ill treatment in the war on terror." Who published it? The left-wing rats and Amnesty International in the United Kingdom. How did they portray America and its allies? As waging a racist war of torture against Muslims around the globe. And how did these wind up in the jail cells of these subhumans who have tried to kill us? Well, an investigation found that Julia Tarver Mason, a partner at Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Wharton, and Garrison, had sent it to Al Judy and eight of the firm's other detainee clients through, quote, legal mail, a designation for privileged lawyer-client communications that are exempt from screening by security personnel. Now, I'm not going to give you any more details. You got the rough picture. You can read the whole story on Michael Savage, right, if you're really interested. Let me go to the end of the story. These left-wing rat lawyers painted our war on terror as an illegal racist war. They successfully, these rats at Paul Weiss, successfully got some of these subhumans released from Guantanamo. And guess what they did after they were released? Yusuf al-Sheri, the detainee who led his cell block in a feeding tube rebellion, was released in November of 07. In early 09, he was listed on the Saudi Kingdom's list of 85 most wanted extremists. Yusuf was killed last October during a shootout with Saudi security forces on his way to a martyrdom operation. He and another jihadist, disguised as women and wearing suicide vests, killed a security officer in the clash. Yusuf's brother-in-law, Saeed al-Shahiri, also released from Gitmo, is currently the second in command of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, the branch that launched the Christmas Day airline attack last year. If you are a family member of Paul Weiss, if you are one of the family members of this law firm, and you yourself don't know what your father or your uncle or your brother or your grandfather is doing, one of these high-powered New York law firms, recognize what they are doing. And recognize that not everything you hear from Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Wharton, and Garrison, and the lawyers within are all kosher. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to a sad state in American history when prestigious law firms will actually actively take the cases of the enemy and present our soldiers and our country as the evildoers. We have come to a place in American history from whence we may not be able to return. And some of the lowest scoundrels on earth are now orchestrating one of the greatest disasters ever seen in the U.S. military. And they're all from major league law firms, whether they be in San Francisco, where one of the rat boy lawyers is now inside the Justice Department, or whether it be the Paul Weiss story that I just read to you. Wherever you turn, apparently the brainwashing of the left is so great, and so many rat lawyers have come out of these destitute law schools that hate this country with a passion that it's in their DNA, that I do not know how we come back from this point. But let me use that story I just told you as a jumping off point. In the White House, we have a man who may as well work for one of these law firms. His name is Barack Obama. In the White House, in the Justice Department, in the Education Department, in the Energy Department, whatever the Secretariat may be, they are all radical left-wingers who see America as evil and the enemy as the victim. Do you think we can return from this place in history? Do you think this country can recover from this takeover of the United States by this far-left radical Obama administration and his fellow travelers in law firms around the country? I don't know. It's up to God, not up to me. but I present the facts, you deal with them. Now let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Indiana, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how are you doing tonight, Michael? Michael?
What's on your mind? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling about the Butler University story.
Let me review that. About an hour ago, I mentioned that a school called Butler University, which I never heard of, has rejected the Supreme Court Justice John Roberts from speaking because he's too controversial. And you're calling to tell us what?
Yeah, I've been, I live about a mile from campus there. I grew up there all my life. And I've been going to the campus. They've been doing, like, seminars on climate change and, you know, pushing the climate change agenda with the English department and the science department. And the school is so radical, so I've now been taking in the anti-science information from Lord Monckton. And I'm trying to get people on board to do this across the country to help take back the schools and, you know, enlighten the kids.
So Butler is a university that specializes in left-wing propaganda, is what you're saying. That's why they would reject the Supreme Court justice. But I understand this very same rat university is having Madeleine Albright there as a non-controversial person. How does that figure?
Well, I don't understand that, but...
Now, I understand it. It's the enemy within. Any other questions? Chicago, Justin, you're next. Go ahead, please.
I went to Butler University, and in 1996, they had Mikhail Gorbachev speaking there. It was right on the heels of his Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, well, he's a very uncontroversial person because he's a communist. He fits right in.
Yes, it's
I mean, he fits right in. He's not controversial. Anyone who's an American patriot is controversial to them. Why anyone listening to this show would send any money to a school like that, I don't understand. Only a guy like Woody Allen would send money to Butler University. That sounds like the kind of university he would have gone to. Thanks for the call. New York City, W.R. Jr. on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking before, Michael, about being poor, people saying that if you own a boat, you're rich. And that is so untrue. My husband and I, we started out renting a boat where you went out to the fishing station and they towed you out and put you in a place called Rowboat Alley. And when you wanted to come in, you put your oar up and they pulled you back
right.
in. And then,
well, yeah, nobody would argue with you being rich when in a boat like that. But what if you have a 50-foot powerboat? Should you be denied the right to vote in America because suddenly the poverty is suddenly considered a virtue?
Oh, no, but what I'm just saying, that's how we started. And then we got to we escalated up into a 24-foot cabin cruiser. And people said, oh, you're so rich. But what they didn't know is I shopped in bargain basements. I went to rummage sales. I went to the Jewish bazaars and bought the dry
goods. But it's your business what you buy with your money. You didn't steal it from anybody. Who is the government to tell you that you shouldn't spend it any way you want? Where is it written that you're not to buy a boat, not buy a car? What kind of society are we living in? Everyone should wear a blue uniform with a red star on it?
That's my point. People saying that you're rich because you have a boat? No, because you work hard for it. Why?
Well, what if you have a 160-foot boat, though? I mean, so what? Does that disqualify a man from running for office? Why should it?
But you work for it. Why? You're entitled
That's,
to it.
No, it doesn't matter. What my point was is that poverty is not a virtue, and wealth is not necessarily a vice, you know? That's my point. Thanks for the call. Judge the person by how they got the money, not what they're spending it on. To a certain point, yes, how they spend it. Sure, you want to build ice sculptures with it for your son's bris is another story. You could say the guy's crazy. Consulate killings in Mexico linked to gangs. You hear what's going on down there? In the gutter now they're laying. In the gutter they're laying dead. I don't know how this can go on unless the military enters. Suspected drug gangsters chased down an open fire on two white SUVs carrying families of U.S. consul employees from a children's party, killing three adults and injuring two children in this violent border city. That's what's going on now in Mexico. Apparently, the government has lost control of the country in Mexico. And my prediction is that whether or not we want to, and whether or not Obama's the one, eventually this is going to come down to the U.S. military because the police can't handle this problem. That's what I think is coming. I mean, you can't argue over that. I don't know. It's just a prediction of what might happen. It's like we're getting back to Viva Zapata again. You know, where the gangs, well, you think the gangs are something new in Mexico? What do you think the Texas Rangers were all about from the beginning? What do you think the military was doing with Mexico 150 years ago? It's always been basically a lawless land. Because they have high-rise hotels, all of a sudden it's a different country? All right, let's move on. Now I got one call after another about haircuts. I don't want to. Let's talk about health care for a minute. My allegations is that health care reform will not help the average person, it will harm them. And I asked you to tell me how you think it's going to help you. Cynthia in Pittsburgh took the bait. Cynthia, welcome to the show. Tell me how health care reform under Pelosi is going to help you personally.
Okay, me personally, I've had asthma for the last 23 years. I'm 29. And
I'm sorry, you did what for the last 29 years?
I've had asthma for the last 23 years. It was real easy when I was like living with my mom to get health care because it was free. When I became an adult and tried to pay for it and tried to get it a different way, I cannot see a specialist unless I pay an arm and a leg for it. So this health care thing is looking beautiful to me because
all right, so wait a minute. What will a specialist do for you that an ordinary doctor has not yet done?
The ordinary doctor will not look at my asthma. They send me to a specialist.
But wait, hold up, ma'am. Slow down. You said that you have asthma now for almost 30 years, correct?
23 years. Yeah, I'm 29.
And you've had asthma for over 20 years. So what do you think another doctor will tell you that you have not already heard about your asthmatic condition?
They're going to help me condition it. They're not.
They're going to help you condition it? What do you mean? They're going to help you with more drugs?
They're going to help me get the drugs that I'm going to actually pay for, that I pay for out of my pocket right now. I'm not suggesting that I get free drugs. I would like to be able to go to the doctor and not go to the emergency room and get medication. That's awesome to me.
But what I'm asking you is, what are you going to learn from another doctor that you don't already know about your asthmatic condition?
I will actually get help. There's no more I can learn. I need help. That's what I want.
Well, what kind of help do you need? What do you need?
I need constant help, not just emergency help.
You need constant help. So you would like a regular visit to a specialist for your asthma?
I would like a regular visit to a doctor or a specialist who will ever see me. Only people who will see me is the people in the emergency room, and they will send me to a specialist. That'll cost me $28,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. And what is a specialist? Have you seen a specialist yet for your asthmatic condition?
I saw a specialist until I was 18 years old, and now.
I'm saying, have you ever gone to a specialist in the asthmatic conditions?
Yes, sir, I have. Since I was
all right. What has the last specialist told you when you visited him or her?
These are the medications you need to stay on to be conditioned. And when I went,
why do you have asthma? Did he say why you might have it? What's triggering it?
My allergies, something about me having it from since I was born. I was born with like a heart murmur and a couple of issues. Mm-hmm. And my mother was...
All right, so you have a couple of serious congenital conditions that have resulted in a lifetime of pain from asthma. How in the world do you think another specialist can cure what may not be curable, but only treatable? And if it is only treatable, you're already getting treated. So why do you need a specialist?
I think he's going to help me maintain my asthma.
You are hoping that they will help you, and that is the crux of the dilemma, madam, which is that hope is eternal, but it is very costly. Hope is eternal, but it is very costly. Everyone would like to have their hand held by a specialist who tells them, do this or do that. But at a certain point, you have to live with what you have. You're getting medication. No one's throwing you in the street. Why do you think that you have the right to expensive medical care that you are not paying for?
Actually paying for it now. That's why.
So you're paying for it now. So how is it going to differ under Obamacare?
It's going to give me a break in my pocket, and I'll be able to go to the doctor instead of going to the emergency room constantly.
All right, but somebody else is going to pay for it, correct?
Somebody else might be me. I'm going to be snatched out of it, too. It's not like I'm not already...
No, you just said you're going to get better care, but who is going to pay for it, if not you? Who will foot the bill?
We all will handle that.
We all. So, in other words, other people who are healthy should pay for your medical care because you want it.
Pay for other people's children.
Oh, why is that fair? Why is it fair for your neighbor to pay for your health care?
Fair for me to pay for my children. Why is it fair for me to pay for somebody else's children to go to school and my children go to Catholic school? I shouldn't have to pay that tax, but I...
Well, you may be right. You may be right about that. You may be right about that. But if you want a one-class society in all spheres and all activities, you know where that ends up, don't you?
Unfortunately, yes, I do. It ends up with me sitting on my kitchen floor hoping to God that I don't have to have my asthma medication tonight because I ain't got it.
Well, why don't you have your asthma medication? If you go to an emergency room, you can get it, can't you?
Room and get it, and they give you one inhaler, and then they send me on my merry little way instead of helping me with my condition, which is what
Why don't they just give you five inhalers?
That'd be great, but apparently they...
See, now you're touching on something that should be part of health reform. Don't assume that I don't know that we don't need health reform, but not along the ways of what a Pelosi wants, which are going to make it more expensive. There are countries on earth where they assume the adult is smart enough to know what medication they need. So they don't have to go to a doctor to get five inhalers. They can go to a pharmacist, for example, and say, I need five inhalers, and get five inhalers. And they bypass the doctor. That saves several hundred dollars right there. That's probably a reform you would believe in, correct?
Yes, that is absolutely correct, sir.
All right, well, at least we agreed on something. Thank you very much. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Heart and soul.
One more gut buster and then some fun in this last segment of this hour in the Savage Nation. Now play the... Give me a drum roll. And now, where is Sandy Berger? I've asked about him. You remember Schwartzberger, the guy who smuggled classified information out of the National Archives in his shorts? Sandy Berger, the former National Security Advisor who gave us neither the nation nor security, or didn't give the nation security. Remember the guy, Sandy Berger, the lawyer from the Hogan and Hartson firm that was the biggest provider of a link to China all those years, and you wonder why China overtook us? You know Sandy Berger, one of the wonderful, upright, patriotic men from the Clinton years. Well, we looked up where Sandy Berger is today, and guess what we found out? Former Secretary of Hate, Madeleine Halfbright, and former National Security Advisor, Sandy Berger, merged their two consulting firms into a new firm called Albridge Stonebridge Group. And guess what they do? Stonebridge, which also had a strategic partnership with Hogan and Hartson, is not a traditional lobbying firm. Oh, no. Instead, it provides consulting for companies looking to do business in China and other countries. So now you know where Sandy Berger and Madeleine Albright are. I'm glad you asked. The drum roll, please. Forget it. When the timing's off, don't do it. It's too late. Now, you wonder how China overtook America in so many areas, right? Well, my friends, you have to go back to the Clinton administration to see how this began. And you don't have to look any further than the former single largest donor to the Democrat National Committee, a man who once had a parking meter company in the Bronx. And that's how he started, parking meters in the Bronx. But he finagled some good contracts, and he moved himself up to the federal level. Before long, he took over a company called Loral Space Technologies. And this ex-parking meter guy now owned Loral Space Technologies, but he had a problem. He wanted to launch satellites for China, but they were crashing on the pads in China because the Chinese did not have the ability to launch rockets that could take satellites into orbit. So this good friend of America, the former single largest donor to the Democrat National Committee, the parking meter man, finagled his way to give Defense Department knowledge to the Chinese, launch codes, launching materials, launching technology. He shared it with the Chinese government on the promise that it would not be used for military purposes. And of course, the rest is history. Not only did the Chinese overtake everybody with regard to launching satellites into orbit, destroying the use aircraft company's ability to do so here in America. But they went a step further. Very soon thereafter, this technology was shared with the People's Republic of China military. And as a result, China now threatens our very survival. And you wanted to know where the former Democrats under Clinton are? Well, we can tell you where they are. Berger and Albright are working around the clock to make certain that America is a far better place to live in. Just ask them. Just ask them. Berger and Albright, join forces. If you want to do business with China, they're the go-to people. There's an update for you on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist,
we are on Rock and Roll Monday.
Tis
whatever.
Twilight time.
It's rock and roll every day on Savage Nation.
When purple curtains mark the end of day, I'll hear you, my dear, at twilight time.
It is the Savage Nation. Here are the headlines on MichaelSavage.com. Obama open to deals in health care bill. President Obama, some call him, Obama appears ready to reverse his position and allow unpopular deal sweetening measures, meaning pork barrel, pork, in order to sell his failed socialized medicine bill. He's willing to buy off the dog catcher to sell it. Everyone counts but you. U.S.-Israel ties in crisis of historic proportions. That's right, under Hillary Clinton, the worst enemy Israel's had in their entire history. Relations with the U.S. have hit a 35-year low. I'll stop right there. Jihad Jane's allies in the courts. That's right, another one. Another blonde, blue-eyed psychopath goes Muslim. And instead of just practicing the peaceful elements of the religion, she decides her goal is to kill Americans, kill Westerners, kill Zionists. How is it possible? How is it possible that so many convert to a religion that teaches them to kill? I could see converting to Islam, or Christianity, or Judaism, or Hinduism, or Buddhism, as millions do, or thousands do, every day. But they don't convert to these religions to kill. They convert to these religions to find the inner peace taught by these religions. So is there something in Islam that is provoking this hate and this violence? Well, that's for someone else to decide, certainly not you. You're incapable of deciding anything. Also on MichaelSavage.com, Jihad Jamie released by Irish police. That's another one. Another blonde bimbo. The second American woman linked to a plot to kill a Swedish cartoonist was released by so-called authorities in Ireland. Another fat slob who couldn't find a man. Had to go to Europe and get down with an Algerian. Suddenly she became a murderer, co-murderer. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable what sex can do to people. Sex madness. Obama desperately seeking scapegoats, says the London Telegraph. Oh, you got to read that one. Clinton is threatening Israel with no weapons. That should make all of you left-wingers happy. After all, if you can see the Middle East cleansed of Jews, that'll be a day you can raise your flags. You can raise your flags the day the Middle East is cleansed and is Judenfrei, all of you liberals. From Fox News, Big Sis let Mexican drug cartels infiltrate the U.S. Border Patrol. Can you believe this? Inadequate screening of new hires during the Border Patrol's recent buildup has resulted in the agency being infiltrated by Mexico's violent drug cartels. Thank you, Homeland and Security. Hillary huffs that Israel has insulted Joe Biden. From the New York Post, dictator-loving Sean Pencil... what's his name, Beowulf?
Oh, Pencilhead?
No, Sean Penkowitz.
Oh, okay.
Sean Penkowitz has reported thrown out of a staged event. After saying he wished his critics would die screaming of rectal cancer, the radical Sean Penn, who loves democracy so much, threw a reporter out of an event because she asked him an embarrassing question. That's what's coming if you let the left wing win. Last week in New York, there was a woman viciously beaten in a bar. She was a nurse. She didn't want to go out with him from the club, go home with him. He trailed her into the bathroom and almost beat her to death, and they caught him due to surveillance tapes. Another man of the practitioner of the religion of peace. Funny. Muslim who viciously beat woman in bar arrested. But then again, she was an infidel, so I guess she doesn't count. Is that right, Beowulf?
Yeah, it's kind of funny his background didn't come up in the initial reports either.
No, you have to read between the lines.
Yeah.
And if you think I'm being unfair to Muslims, here's one on my website. Iranian Jewish family nabbed at Ben-Gurion Airport with 15 kilograms of opium. So, I post whatever is of importance. It's not just about one religion. Here it is. Iranian Jewish family nabbed smuggling 15 kilograms of opium into Israel. An Iranian Jewish man, his wife, and their teenage son were arrested at Ben-Gurion Airport on suspicion of smuggling 15.4 kilos of pure Iranian opium into Israel. Apparently, a lot of Iranians like opium. They got used to it in the old country.
Yeah, I guess they can make peace through drugs now.
Well, in the old days, the Jews would come with their taste of lox, herring, and pike. But I guess in Iran, they developed other tastes over the centuries.
I suppose so.
Right? It's not gefilte fish that they like in the Iranian Jewish communities. NASA study, doom and gloom rainforest predictions turn out to be complete and total lies. The UN Climate Change Panel is facing fresh criticism after new research contradicted claims about the devastating effect climate change could have on the Amazon. Total lies. Savage suggests, and I'm not taking it down till you read it, use religious freedoms to challenge Obamacare. That's all. New York Times, you know the newspaper that's dying on the Pinchy Sulzberger? He took out $6 million in compensation last year while the paper was dying. Can you believe that, Beowulf?
I guess Pinch isn't pinching pennies.
No, he's pinching other people's pennies out of their pockets. And in San Francisco, there was a St. Paddy's Day parade, believe it or not, and they actually allowed nuclear heterosexual Irish families to march without spitting at them or throwing red blood at them.
They actually let Irish Catholics, heterosexual white people, walk in the streets of San Francisco.
I swear to God, I have a picture of a man, a woman, and their four children, cute little redheaded children, and the children were apparently born of actual women. No, I mean, it's shocking. Apparently, the mayor suspended his normal animus towards families, and he allowed the Irish to march in San Francisco, and the wonderful alternative crowd didn't throw things at them. By the way, on the bottom of michaelsavage.com, really worth looking at, Beowulf, there is a picture of the hag that John Edwards threw away the presidency or the run for the presidency over.
I see.
Take a look at her. I knew he never had good taste. I mean, I knew his judgment was shot from the beginning.
I don't know.
Take a look at what he fell in love with there.
I don't know whether there's a connection, but there seems to me to be an uncanny resemblance between her and Jihad Jamie. Maybe that's just me.
Let's see. Bottom right, John Edwards threw away run for president because of her. What a look. Now we go up to the left on Michael Savage. And
right.
My God. My God, she looks like Jihad Jamie.
Oh, my God. I wonder, there were maybe 10 years from now, yeah.
So one went over to the Muslim side and became a terrorist, and the other went over to the Edwards side and became a lawyer? Here's another story. Demand for Obama wanes among moderate Democrats. Moderate House Democrats, is there such a thing as a moderate? No, I think that means less than Marxist. Anyway, they're afraid of Obama because they know that he's like a poison pill.
His stock is going down, politically speaking.
Wasn't it called bribery years ago when you bought votes?
I think so.
But that's the Chicago way. They used to buy votes in Chicago with bottles of brandy.
Yeah. It's a little bit more expensive now, but it's basically the same process.
So Al Capone, in other words, is running the White House.
That's what it amounts to. Guy in a striped suit.
New Jersey terror suspect worked at the nuclear power plants. That's an old story. Sharif Mobley has ties to the same branch of Al-Qaeda who was suspected of attempting to blow up a U.S. airliner in the underwear bombing incident. Same mosque, same so-called imam. Again, a failure of Homeland Security. Again.
And not only did he work at nuclear power plants, he also worked for John Corzine's campaign back in 2005. So he's a Democrat, too.
Well, that's the important thing, is that he can vote, you know. You know, there used to be a saying, I'm a Democrat and I vote. Remember those bumper stickers?
That's right, I remember that.
Well, I guess we're going to see new bumper stickers which say I'm a terrorist and I vote. Oh, it's terrible. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I found a story on a special home builder who has donated his time and efforts into building houses for wounded veterans. I was amazed at this man. He builds houses for wounded vets mortgage-free with taxes paid for 2 years to help these vets rebuild their lives, all through donations of his own time, money, and materials, and those of other builders. Joining us now is the founder and president of Walrath Custom Homes and the Bay Area Builders Association, Dan Walrath, to discuss this amazing altruism. Dan Walrath, it's an honor to have you on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. How are you doing today? Thank you so much for having us here today.
How did you get involved in building houses for veterans?
How I got involved was through a friend of mine who had a son who was severely injured in Iraq, and he had some severe head injuries. And he asked me to come to his house and visit with his friend about this project they had to have done at their house, because Stephen was coming home, and the house just wouldn't accommodate wheelchairs and things like that. So I went over and talked to him, and had not really. I built custom homes, and I really wasn't into remodeling, but I thought, well, I'll just go look. And when I got over there, I started talking to Mr. Schultz, the father, and his 20-year-old son. He was showing me pictures of him before he was injured, and the pictures afterwards, and it just broke my heart. You know, I just knew that we had to do something. So that's when I gathered up a bunch of my builder friends and told them what was going on, and everybody just said, yeah, let's do it. So we jumped in there and remodeled that home. And then, you know, once we did that, you know, we realized that this wasn't an isolated case. This was happening all over the United States. And so, you know, I had the idea of, well, let's all get together and let's see if we can't build a home that would really change a family's life. So we did. And the first project, and believe it or not, being novices and not knowing what channels to go through, how to find an injured vet, you know, we called the VA, and we had no luck there. Of course, we weren't calling the right people. I'm sure if we got the right people, we would have been able to get the information we needed. But anyway, we finally, through a lot of aggravation and everything else, we finally got a Marine Corps colonel advocate. That he was really out there trying to do some things for the injured Marines, and he gave some names, and that's how we got started building houses. And then just recently we got started, you know, we've been building a couple houses a year in the Houston area, and the response that we've been getting from our suppliers and subcontractors has just been phenomenal. You know, when bad economic times that we have right now, and They still dig down deep and they give to this project.
How many houses have you been able to build for them?
As of this date, I believe we have completed, I think, five homes, and they all range in the $275,000 to $300,000 range. They're mortgage-free, full of furniture, taxes and insurance paid for 2 years. And we have, at this point right now, I think we have five or six under construction all over Texas, and then one in Illinois. Recently, we were, because of our work through the Builders Associations here in the Houston area, we felt like that we had a program that we could share to other builder organizations across America, and we just didn't know how we could get this our word out to the great builders that we have across our nation to help join in. And lo and behold, one of our board members was trying to get us a booth at the International Builders Show in Las Vegas. And the National Association of Home Builders caught on to what we were doing, and they went ahead and they gave us a booth, and then also they made us a big part of their opening ceremony this year in January. And we had the opportunity, or I did, I had the opportunity to get up and talk in front of about 12,000 builders, developers, remodelers, suppliers, manufacturers, and tell about how what we have done in the Houston area and also in Texas. And it was real heartwarming. After we got through the opening ceremony, we went back to our booth, and when we got back there, there was a line of builders. I mean, it was just incredible, the amount of builders that lined up to sign up to get more information about Operation Finally Home. Now we're dealing with almost a builder organization almost in every state now that wants to start building these homes, and it's really just taken off, and I think the American people are just ready for something like that.
What kind of staff is working for your program?
I volunteer all of my time and efforts, and I personally have put some of my funds into it early on. And we have, because we've gone nationwide with our program, and we get calls and emails. We have now two full-time employees. We have an executive director, and then we have a secretary. And both of their salaries are being paid. One of the things I wanted to do was I always wanted to keep our charity, our nonprofit, as a pure charity. And so we went out and solicited funds from folks to sponsor our employees and our overhead. Now when people come and they give a $10 or give $5 or $100, all that money goes to building the homes. It only takes us about anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000 cash to build a home of $300,000 range. So now, you know, what we tell folks is if you give us $10, we just have to just raise $50,000 to build this home. And so we take your your $10, and we can turn it into $1,000, you know. So it's different from other charities where, you know, you might get 80% of your dollar goes this. We're going to take your money, and we're going to make it grow.
It seems that you found a new calling in life, Dan.
Absolutely. I have always said that since this thing has started, this has been truly a calling. I truly believe God called me to do this. The passion that he's put into my heart for these young men and women, you know, I couldn't do this in our organization. We just couldn't do all this without God's help and with his leadership. And we give all the credit to God for orchestrating and putting this thing together. And so far, he's done a pretty good job.
Amazing work. Well, there's more I want to hear from you. Can you stay over the break?
Yes, you bet. That's no problem.
Thanks. We'll be right back after this.
Savage.
We're back with Dan Walrath, who helps build houses for wounded veterans for absolutely no money to them. This is a great thing that you're doing to support these wounded vets. What kind of help do you typically need? How can people, can they donate?
The way, of course, you know, in any organization, what we need is, when I tell someone we need $50,000 to build a house, well, a lot of times half that money goes to pay for property. The other half goes to pay for labor. Unfortunately, or fortunately, you know, we have a lot of young men and women that work on these homes that can't afford to donate their time, and so we have to pay for their labor. And so the subcontractors that we employ and all the builders employ, you know, ours is not like Habitat Humanity, things like that. We don't ask people to come out and work on the homes. We orchestrate these homes through builders, and the builders already have their laborers and their subcontractors and things like that. So, you know, of course, we need to raise funds so we can build more houses. And then also we ask folks that, you know, they're out there, that if they have an air conditioning company or they have a flooring company or they have a light fixture company, whatever that goes into a home, if they would contact their local builders organization in the area, find out if they do have, are they part of Operation Finally Home. If they're not, encourage them to join up with us and then also participate in that program. Donate a house of light fixtures, donate a house of carpet, you know, donate appliances, donate light switches, whatever, roofing. There's so many things that, you know, if everybody across the nation just gives a little bit, we can build hundreds and hundreds of these homes and not put a big burden on anyone, but we could change the future of so many of these young men and women. You know, I've dealt with these folks for 5 years now, and one common thing that I find out from every one of them, I don't care if they're missing both legs or whatever, the same thing is they regret they're not back with their buddies. They regret they're not back. They wouldn't change anything, and they're moving forward with their lives. You know, that's what we want to do is we don't want to give them a handout. We want to give them a hand up.
Exactly.
We have given the opportunities to some young men and women. We have one a couple that since they received their home, they've gone on and both got their master's degree, and that's what we're looking for. And we don't want to hold these folks back. You know, if they live in one of these homes 2 or 3 years, they accomplish what they need to accomplish, and if some corporation hires them in New York City and they need to move, we're not going to tie them down to that house. We tell them, hey, you've bettered yourself, you got your education, you're moving forward, sell the house, move to New York City, take the money and buy you another home.
Where can my listeners learn more about what you do, Dan?
Our website is babasupport.org. It's B-A-B-A support.org. And on there we've got PayPal on there for donations, and then all the stories about a lot of our recipients on there, our upcoming events. We've got a concert upcoming. We have a event at Billy Bob's in Fort Worth on April 8th. We're going to have Big Kenny of Big and Rich is going to be there, and along with some other celebrities, and we're going to be having a great evening. That it's all fundraiser for our organization, and so we've got a lot of things coming up, and all those things they can check out on our website.
Is your program of building houses for wounded veterans spreading?
The way the program works is, we are trying to spread the news to other builder organizations across the nation. As builders, we know how to build homes. That's what we do. Just like, you know, doctors or lawyers, that's easy to a doctor or lawyer because that's what they studied to do. And we're builders, and building homes is easy to us builders. And, you know, we're just trying to encourage builders across the nation to pick up on the program. We'll show them how to raise money. We'll show them how to select the candidates, and you know, we'll aid them in fundraising and whatever they need. The thing is, we just want to get more and more of these homes built, you know. And another thing in our selection process is, what we do not take any application for our homes. These homes are a complete surprise to every one of the families. What we do is, we feel like these young men have been disappointed enough through you know, if you sit down at VA all day long and you don't get the care you need or whatever, and I'm not saying anything bad about the VA, but it is disappointing sometimes when they don't live up to their expectations and treating them for PTSD and appointments they have and things like that. And we don't want to disappoint them anymore. So what we do is, because we have people contact us all the time and want to fill out applications, and what we look for families that we can help. You know, giving a new home to a young man that's lost both his legs and he's angry and he's mad, and you know, a new home doesn't help him. He needs all of our support and he needs all our help, but a new home doesn't fit those needs. And so we seek out families and a new home helps, and we find them through the caseworkers at Brooke Army Hospital. We find them through Marine Corps leagues and different sources that we have now, and we get some wonderful recommendations and wonderful families that we seek out, and then we present them with a home. And I tell you, there's no better feeling than surprising a young family with a brand new home mortgage free.
Dan Walrath, thank you for all that you're doing and for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you so much for allowing us to be on your show today. We appreciate everybody and all the listeners out there. Because we know your listeners are the kind of people that we know that support our troops and believe in what they're doing over there. And we just appreciate, and we know, and thank everybody in advance for the donations and the great emails that we receive all the time. Thank you.
If you have young children, you go to movies. That's all. What does a grown-up go to a movie theater for? What, do you need the flu? You want to hear an old lady coughing? Or you want to smell somebody that you can't stand sitting three rows ahead of you? You want to, like, you need popcorn. What do you think people eat popcorn for? Is to get away from the stink in the theater. I don't go to a theater. What do you need a theater for? What is the theater? How can it survive? We have a 50-inch screen, 60-inch screen, HD, 3D, 9D, HD, MyD, YourD, all aboard. We all have them in our bedroom. What the hell do you need a movie theater for? What, the diseases you're going to get? A filthy seat, the ticks you're going to get from the floor? You ever wonder about that when you're like the gummy floor and your feet are on it? Doesn't it ever bother you? Especially if like you're a little bit of a hippie. Like you go in the senior citizen, the admission in the daytime, and there's like still leftover gum on the floor. Like a soda spilled and you're wearing sandals because like Birkenstocks are still in your mind. Like you have Birkenstocks on your brain still. And it's like to show you're nonconformist even though you're retired from the post office and you vote Democrat. You try to show that you're really an artist because that's what you once thought you were back when you were a kid. So you go to the movies at 12 o'clock to save $4. But the point is, when you sit there in your Birkenstock-like shoes and the floor is a little gooey from the soda spills that they don't clean up because they're saving on everything now, the movie, don't you worry about like bugs crawling into your sock. That's something that's going to be cleaned up under Obamacare. There's a clause in the Obamacare bill that says if you vote for it, Rahm Emanuel will personally make sure that movie theater floors are clean for senior citizens from Marin County to make certain that their Birkenstocks don't get dirty. That's what they actually thought would happen. Whatever happened to the Prius drivers with the superior virtue of the oppressed on their faces? They're not smiling anymore, huh? Where they go? All of the Toyota people. The brake pedal people. Lexus, too? Also, was it Lexus one of the cars that was accelerating? Was it? I think it was also Lexus, right, or not? No, only Toyota what? Does anyone make a Datsun anymore? That was a big car for a while. Where'd the Datsun go? Didn't they change their name to something else, Datsun? They're called Nissan now? That's really a Datsun? Oh, when Nissan became, and Datsun became Nissan. It's like the old song, Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Same thing. Nissan once was Datsun. You see, you know, I could do a song like that if I was doing, if I was interested. I'm in a very weird mood. I don't know what it is. It's, something's odd. I got to admit, I'm focused, but I don't give a damn. I am focused on the world's problems, but I don't care. And I'll tell you why, because I know that we have gangsters running America. I feel good about that. I feel good knowing that criminal gangsters are running America. It makes me feel good. I sleep better at night. At least we all know it. At least the thinking people of America know that everyone in the media is lying to them, with rare exception, and virtually 99% of the people in politics are total crooks who are out only for themselves. I sleep better knowing at least the truth has come out. Could live with the truth. That's all. And we know that the healthcare thing is to rob the entire healthcare enterprise, to divide it up like the spoils. That's why the gang wants it. Do you know how much money there is in ambulances alone? You have any idea what kind of money Medicare pays to fake ambulance companies transporting bums that don't need sickness around? You know, remember a guy called, he said that in Israel, what was the country? The ambulance drivers are substituted as taxi drivers on the way to the hospital. They stop and give you... Russia, they're so corrupt that they, before the fall, that the ambulances would stop and pick passengers up so the driver could make some money on the side. Same in America. But instead of stopping to pick people up and being a taxi on the side, fundamentally they're using taxis and saying they're ambulances and collecting money from Medicare here. Same thing by a different label.
Savage.
Now, the Savage Nation Hollywood Idiot of the Day.
The leftist Hollywood Idiot of the Day, Tom Hanks, is at it again. He calls World War II a war of racism and terror. You hear this?
The Pacific now is coming out where it represents a war that was of racism and terror. And would it seem as though the only way to complete one of these battles in these small specks of rock in the middle of nowhere was to, I'm sorry, kill them all. And does that sound familiar to what we might be going through today? So is there anything new under the sun? It seems as though history keeps repeating itself.
It would be naive to assume that racism was not part of the quotient in World War II, and it's historical fact by way of just simply suicide bombers from the air, and as well as the terror that was visited upon civilian populations throughout the Pacific, that terrorism was not part of the equation as well. I have talked to all sorts of people who have, in the vernacular, used incredibly racist terms about the people on the other side of the fence. But let's just take the word racism out of it and put ignorance instead, because racism is a very virulent form of what that ignorance is.
And another media moron, Thomas Friedman of the Soviet Times, says China is much better than our suboptimal democracy. If you had any doubts about where the writers for the Old York Times come from, think fascism, socialism, period.
I've been saying for a while, Tom, there's only one thing worse than one-party autocracy, the Chinese form of government, and that's one-party democracy. You know, in China, if the leadership can get around to an enlightened decision, it can order it from the top down. Okay. Here, when you have one-party democracy, one-party ruling, basically, and the other party basically saying no, every solution is suboptimal. When your chief competitor in the world can order optimal and you can only produce suboptimal, because what happens, you know, whether it's healthcare or the energy bill, votes 1 through 50 cost you a lot. Votes 50 to 59 cost you a fortune. And vote 60, his name's Ben Nelson. And by the time you've made all those compromises, you end up with the description David had of the healthcare bill, which is this Rube Goldberg contraption. I personally hope it passes. I hope it works, but I can't tell you. I think it's optimal.
Yep. They may have outlawed religious freedom and all individual rights, but I'm sure that they have great health care in China. You know, just like Pelosi says, the dear leader wants here in America.
I'm delighted that the president will be here for the passage of the bill. It's going to be historic, and it would not be possible without his tremendous, tremendous leadership, his persistence, his concern for the American people, always guided by his statement that we will measure our success by the progress being made by America's working families. This legislation not only makes history, but it will make progress for America's working families.
And if by persistence you mean at gunpoint, of course it's not as socialist as they really like it.
Let me say this, and I know I can say this with certain assurance in this room. I have supported, when I say support, signs in the street, advocacy in legislatures, and I have supported single payer for longer than many of you have been since you've been born, than you've lived on the face of the earth. So I think, I have always thought that was the way to go.
But Pelosi's whip, James Clyburn, says that they don't have the votes yet.
You just heard Mr. Axelrod say that he is confident, Congressman Clyburn, that the bill will be passed. As of this morning, do you have the votes that you need?
No, we don't have them as of this morning, but we've been working this thing all weekend. We'll be working it going into the week. I'm also very confident that we'll get this done.
Winston Churchill knew what Obama and Pelosi are really trying for. Listen to this.
No socialist system can be established without a political police. Many of those who are advocating socialism or voting socialist today will be horrified at this idea. That is because they are short-sighted. That is because they do not see where their theories are leading them. No socialist government conducting the entire life and industry of the country could afford to allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would have to fall back on some form of Gestapo.
If you want to prove me wrong after you've listened to some of the data I'm going to give you and some of the information I'm going to give you, go ahead. It's talk radio. I am not the U.S. government. I am simply a talk radio host with a fairly good education, with a fairly good capacity to transmit ideas to you. You have the right to call me at any time. I don't care what your station of life may be. As long as you have a cogent argument, you may get through Doug the call screener, the third most listened to radio show in the United States of America, incidentally, with approximately 10 million listeners a week, listeners like you. You know, I got a lot of advertisers, and you know what? I believe in them. They believe in me, but you got to start believing in them. I had blinds put in my house. I couldn't believe the transformation. The price? It was lower than anything I've ever paid, but the look is beyond belief. The installation was like instantly. And stamps.com. I don't go to the post office anymore. My time is free. I feel like I'm liberated. So stop what you're doing right now. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's stamps.com. Look, we can only laugh this week because we know what's coming.
Yeah, this is the week.
They're gonna buy this out no matter what they have to do to make this work. Yeah. Beowulf, I have one last comment on the healthcare push.
Mm-hmm.
If it's so damn good, why do they have to bribe so many people to get it passed?
Yeah, if it's so obvious, if it's so, everyone accept it, if that's the case, then why are they struggling so much? Why are they having to claw their way to passage of this bill?
Right, right. I don't know. I guess there's something in it for people other than the voters.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess maybe some people here see an opportunity to make some money out of this.
Is it possible that Obama will not grant health care to people who don't vote for him? Sort of like Chavez, that they'll keep lists of anyone who voted for a Republican doesn't get health care? I mean, that would be part of his mentality, wouldn't it, Beowulf? If you vote Democrat, you get health care. If you voted Republican, since they were against it, you don't get it.
I don't know. He seems to be willing to go to almost any extreme to get this passed, so who knows? Anything's possible.
Why is it so imperative that he push this when most Americans are against it.
Yeah, it's like he's monomaniacally focused on this to the exclusion of all other issues. I don't quite understand it.
By the way, last note, U.S. and the United Kingdom are moving closer to losing their AAA rating on Moody's. Substantially closer to losing their AAA credit ratings as the cost of servicing their debt rose, according to Moody's Investor Services. So here are two busted out economies, the U.S. and the U.K. You hear this?
Yeah.
What's going on in the world under Obama?
Yeah, and they want to take out another mortgage at the same time for socialized medicine. Unbelievable.
Well, that's why it's busting out.
That's right.
So that's what's going on in the world, on according to Michael Savage. Play some music for a minute. It's Blue Monday on the Savage Nation.
Blue Moon, you saw me standing alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own.
Blue Moon. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.